Hello, Low Country. This is longtime ESPN commentator Dr. Jerry Punch, inviting you to listen to the Scott Hamilton Show every day right here on 98.9 ESPN Charleston. Because as everyone knows, Scott is a legend in his own mind.
We're going to ask our next visitor on the Saitama Guest Hotline. He raced on the NASCAR Cup Series for more than 30 years, won the Daytona 500 twice. He's now an analyst for Fox Sports. Michael Waltrip, good morning.
Good morning. How are y'all?
Buddy, we are doing great. Are you up in Huntersville right now?
No, I'm actually in Charlotte. I had to come down here for a little bit of business, and I'm just going to hang out here in the parking lot and talk to you for a few minutes.
Well, I appreciate it, man. I won't keep you too long. Hey, Michael, we watched the race yesterday, and of course we want every race to end on a checkered flag, but that's the hand we're given. It rained. They called the race. We got a winner. How big of a moment is it for NASCAR? How big of a moment is it for America?
I'm just so thankful that for Bubba, who he is, what all he's gone through, how hard he's fought to get this opportunity, and Denny and Michael Jordan putting the team together, and it's interesting because Denny's a lot younger than me, and I had a team as well, so I sort of know the ins and outs and the struggles and the challenges, and to see them be able to step up and Bubba drive the last 10 laps of his life to put himself in that position as a NASCAR fan, as a guy that's been in this business for a long time, it just was very special. Not because Bubba's an African American. That's not what made it most special to me. It's because they're my friends, and I know their heart, and I know who they are and what they stand for. So that's what made it special to me. Now, for the world, having Bubba win and being the first African American that has won a NASCAR race in 50 some years, I know that there's a lot of young eyeballs on the sport saying, man, I want to do that. I want to do what Bubba did. And that's healthy for the sport. I think it's great for NASCAR that Bubba's been able to make his way through the ranks up to the top series in NASCAR and become a winner. It was just a great day for me.
Yeah, it was a great day for a lot of us. We've seen Bubba really struggle early on and, you know, get some criticism just because he's an African American. That's the nature of it. And he's the only one on the circuit, but he's hanging in there and he's winning now. And I hope it opens up the floodgates for him. And I hope it opens up the floodgates for other minorities. How would you appraise NASCAR's efforts at this stage of bringing in minorities, bringing in people of color and other ethnicities to compete on that level?
Well, it's happening, and it's because of a lot of effort from NASCAR and from the sport in general, both on the business side with NASCAR and from the garage area, folks that are just very inclusive, accepting. We want it to be a diverse sport. We want more people to enjoy it. We want it to be a place where folks can come and be comfortable and have fun and pull for their favorite driver no matter what they represent, what part of this world they're from. I just think that there's going to be, you know, people are going to talk bad about drivers, whether they're black or white. There's always going to be challenges of folks accepting everyone. But I know this for certain: inside that garage area, those inside the fences where the competitors are, and it was evident by everybody coming up and congratulating Bubba. I can't appreciate his struggle as much as he, like what he has to live, and just to hug him and say, I love you and I love what you did. And, that's what I see. That's where I come from. And I know the whole garage area does as well.
Well said. We're joined by Michael Waltrip. You can follow him on Twitter at MW55. And Michael, you were a team owner, and Michael Jordan, Denny Hamlin, they have their team out there now, 2311 Racing, and that's not an easy enterprise to get off the ground. From an organizational standpoint, what does it do for them now that they've got a victory? Now they have something to validate everything they're doing other than just being this massive, you know, marketing popular team. Hey, it's Michael Jordan, Denny Hamlin. Now they're validated.
Yeah, they got a lot of work to do still. Yeah. We were really fortunate, and I talked earlier about being Denny's friend and understanding the struggles and what all goes into putting a team on the track. It wasn't that long ago that Michael Waltrip Racing won our first race in the Cup Series. It's been a long time. Who am I kidding? I forgot I'm getting old. Back in, I think it was 08 or maybe it was 09, when David Rudiman went to Victory Lane in the Coke 600 in Charlotte. You know, that was a big moment for our team. It was a rain-shortened race, but we got a win. And, you know, the next week, you start your engine for the next race, and that win don't really mean that much to anybody. You know, you're just another car on the racetrack. But we built our team from a team that struggled mightily, way more than Denny's and 2311 has struggled. But we built it from nothing to missing races to winning races and contending for a championship. So I know that's the direction that 2311 will be on. I felt like that people had a little bit unrealistic expectations of that team when the season started. It doesn't matter that, you know, they have an association with Joe Gibbs Racing. They're a single car team. They had a lot of things that they have to figure out on their own, and I knew it would be a difficult challenge. But now that they've got the victory, they know what's possible. They'll continue to grow. They're adding a car next year. Kurt Busch will be a great addition to that organization and will continue that march toward being a team that can win each and every week. So been there, seen it all, and appreciate what they're working on and know the challenges that they're faced with.
Yeah, I mean, that says a lot if they're bringing on a Kurt Busch. I mean, they're looking down the road, and they're realizing they're not going to just go off and win a cup championship first year. And that kind of leads me to my next question. How do you compare them when it comes to resources, when it comes to lining up next to the Hendricks of the world, to the Gibbses of the world?
Well, I think with Michael and Denny's ownership, there's certainly a lot, and Bubba as a driver, they've got a lot of great sponsors, and they're adding a car because they have sponsorship to run that car at a top level. And Kurt Busch, he is the perfect guy to partner with Bubba. He knows he's been here forever. You know, he's a champion. He can dissect the car. Bubba now will have somebody that he can directly bounce things off of. I know he's had Denny there, but it's just like I said. Denny's he's a driver first, and an owner second, and he might argue that and say he's both, but you know he certainly has to focus on winning races when he's behind the wheel, and I think Kurt joining that organization will just make the acceleration toward being a contender week in and week out even faster.
How difficult was it for you to balance that? How long were you still driving and still owning a team?
Yeah, I did that for about two or three years, and quite frankly, when I started owning the team, Toyota had just come into the sport. We helped usher them in, and quite frankly, they just weren't ready. They weren't competitive. The engines weren't strong enough, and we were a startup team. We didn't know what we were doing, so. All that being said, you know, I retired early because I wanted to be an owner. And NAPA wanted to see the cars up front and win races. And so I had a chance to hire Martin Truex. And they said, if you can get Martin behind the wheel of the NAPA car, we will sponsor you for three more years. And, you know, quite frankly, that saved the team. It gave us a chance to have some time to build. And we did build into a winning organization. So I sacrificed my driving full-time so I could be an owner. And as I look back, I certainly don't regret that decision because we were so competitive.
We're joined by Michael Waltrip. And, Michael, just a couple more questions. Let's look forward to the next race, the Roval at Charlotte. And I'm going to go ahead and tell you right now, Charlotte Motor Speedway is one of my least favorite facilities. But I love the Roval, man. I dig the Roval. How would Michael Waltrip, driver, attack that course, attack that track?
Oh, it's just, I don't know. Stay away from the turtles. They seem to bite. Jumping over those curbs is not a healthy thing. And I would try to follow Chase Elliott around. Yeah. He seems to have that place figured out pretty well. It's a really interesting, challenging racetrack. I was really fortunate when I retired from driving in NASCAR. I got to run the 24 Hours of Le Mans. I ran the 24 Hours of Spa Belgium, the Daytona, Sebring, several road races. And so there's just every road track, I mean, the technique is the same, but they're all so much different and so many different angles to attack and where you can be conservative and where you have to really go for it. And so when I tune in for the Roval with my eyes wide open, looking to see how these drivers are attacking and what seems to be the fastest line and what strategy does it take to be up front when it matters the most.
I remember Boris said he would always seem to pop up for those road courses, man. What was it about him that made him so good?
His strong suit was his road racing, but he adapted to the NASCAR-type cars really quickly. So when he was able to bring those skills into NASCAR, then it just made him one of the best road racers in NASCAR. And, you know, he's one of the best road racers in the world over his career. So he just understood exactly what it took. And, you know, I got competitive and had some great runs on the road courses, some top five finishes. And it just, you know, I wasn't a road racer as a kid, never really got to do it until I got into NASCAR. And so just understanding exactly how to take those skills of a road racer and apply it to the big old heavy stock cars that most road racers aren't used to driving.
Did you prefer road courses or those super speedways? Because you had a little bit of success on those too.
Oh, I kind of like Daytona and Talladega. As a kid, I dreamed of racing at those racetracks. I don't guess I was ever really bold enough to dream of winning there. I just said, I want to race there. And then to have success at those big racetracks, they were certainly my favorite. I loved coming home to Charlotte May and October and getting to race in front of the family and friends and the team. So I had several Bristol, you know, I had a really bad crash there one day and was able to win the Busch race a couple of times over the years. So all of them were fun. You really look forward to trying to figure out each and every one of them. But Daytona was always my favorite.
He raced in NASCAR's Cup Series for more than 30 years. Now an analyst on Fox Sports. You can follow him on Twitter at MW55. Michael, buddy, it's been too long. I appreciate catching up today.
Sure. We got some Michael Waltrip beers at the Roval this weekend, so if you're out there, be sure you grab you one, all right?
All right, man. I appreciate it.
All right. Take it easy.
That's Michael Waltrip. Follow him on Twitter at MW55. He's got a brewery going or something now.